they asked us to have stuff on our hearts that we could share. And driving back from the first meeting, driving back from the first meeting, the concept of light kept coming up, you know, because it was pitch black or whatever, and there were lights here and there. There were the street lights. There was like a cop light from a passing one, and it just got to the mind of how light is something that, you know, it's something that's part of everybody's Christian life, but, you know, do we really think that much about it, you know? So if y'all could turn me to John 8:12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." And then to Acts 9:1-5. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters for him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus." So, just kicking it off right there, what is light? You know, this is a workshop, so it's supposed to be a little interactive. What do you all think? What do you think the light is? Who do you think the light is? Aaron? All right, that's a good answer. Anybody else? All right, Ryan? What? Sure, sure, it can be. Anybody else? Anybody? Sure, okay. Y'all are very good at answering questions, I see. So, like Aaron said, light is the absence of darkness. And because of our sinful nature, all of us are born in it. You know, it's just part of who we are. So, imagine your life is like a really, really dark room. And that's just who we are. It can be neat, it can be semi-neat, but it's still dark. And, you know, and when we meet the Lord, it's like he sets off this flare inside a room. It's something like, whoosh, and then all of a sudden, you can see all the big stuff. Now, you can't see the smaller stuff, because in your room, if you snap on a light really quick, you see like the bed and you see the desk, but you don't see the stuff hiding underneath it. That comes later. But when you're first saved, you see this thing of, oh, this is what light is. And then you try to move in that as best as you can. But after a while, after a while, the thrill of seeing the light gets a little old, because sometimes we fail to look at it again. And above all, with light, it's important that you keep focusing on the source, which is Christ. Because the light is the life that Christ gives us. The light to change, to clean up ourselves, to become like Christ. And if we look away from that light, then we completely lose it. But the Lord is very patient with us. And, you know, the Christian walk is hard, but he helps us all the way. So when we accept the light, what does that mean? It means that the mess has got to get out of the room. It means that the clutter that is not pleasing to him has got to go. And we're all at different levels, and at the beginning, we all have different big things that need to go, because that's just what the light's shown us. So one person can get immediately convicted on language. Another can get immediately convicted on laziness. Another can get convicted on lust. But to a point, our only spot is to react to the light that we have. But it doesn't stop there. When going, we got to learn to renounce our sins. The part of accepting the light is learning to hate the darkness, because darkness is very easy to slip in. And, you know, sadly, most people sometimes get a little bit back into it, get a little bit back out. But the Lord will still take us back. But still, the focus on the Lord is important. You know, part of the reason why some people hate going to Christ is because they hate being exposed. And which is understandable. Some people have different sins, some worse than others. And a lot of the time that prevents us from really entering into Christ sometimes. But, you know, sometimes you just got to face it. A lot of that is what faith is, understanding that God won't judge us, that God will fix us, that the people around us won't judge us. And You know, getting saved hurts initially because it's coming to life. It's unpleasant. I mean, a little baby, when it comes into the world, all of a sudden, oh, it's light. Oh, it's cold. Oh, everything, you know? But as we start, it's just, you get this liberating feeling of, I'm free. This is right. This is different. This is cool. And you've got to learn to cling to the light that Christ gives you at that point, because if you let it go, if you say, okay, that was cool, in retrospect, it's like the man in the Bible, it rots. So then all of a sudden, you get about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks into it, and then you start thinking, was I crazy? Was that weird? And then you slip back into your old ways or whatever. You're a little bit more moral. You've got the semi-morality, but you still don't have the Christ. So the darkness starts to slip back in or whatever. It's less noticeable, but you're still in the dark. And, you know, another thing that gets us is we stop feeling like we're making progress. You know, we saw the flare or whatever, and we see the big things, and we kind of deal with the immediate big things. And then we lose focus on Christ and start focusing on, okay, we're going to get everything. You know, we feel like, oh, I have a little bit of trouble with this or a little bit of trouble with that, so I'm going to focus all my energy on that, and the Lord's not really fixing it, so we get frustrated, you know? We feel like the Lord isn't going anywhere. And sadly, that's condemnation. It's not actual repentance when we feel like, oh, I have all these sins and I'm not getting anywhere. That's beginning to doubt God, because God's doing the work in us, you know? And when that happens, darkness comes back in, because, you know, a lack of faith is sinning. You know, I had to learn that very vividly recently, but, you know, and when you do that, you automatically lose the means of continuing in the light. The light begins to dim a little bit, and we keep on striving, trying to fix it. And in our effort to clean ourselves, we just completely slide back into the dark. But sometimes, on that downward spiral, we get so far that we realize while we've been trying to focus on that little thing, we've lost it in everything else. We realize that while we've been taking out the garbage more, we've been cleaning our room more, we realize we've been a bully to everyone. We realize that we don't care about what other people think. And you realize suddenly you just feel overwhelmingly ashamed of yourself, because you realize I'm in darkness. And then you don't have the Lord as your light to guide you out of it, and then you can just despair. But the Lord is always sending little love telegrams to you, because you're His. You accepted the light. So He's still going to send you notes or whatever. You can ignore them, but He still is trying to talk to you. So, and one thing that holds a lot of people back when they're in that state of condemnation is they feel like it'll take too much, it'll hurt too much. But turning back to the Lord is as little as one choice. You know, you're in a situation where you feel like you're 20 feet deep in sin. You feel like you don't see a way out. You're wondering, was my salvation even real? But then God sends along little opportunities for you to exercise that dormant Christ life inside of you, the Christ life that you got when you accepted His salvation. And little opportunities come along. Be nice to Him. Help her. Do this, do that. Pray a little bit. Read your Bible. And then all of a sudden, it's like, if you take that one positive step in the right direction, it's like God is one of the most easily won over lovers ever, because you can do these terrible, terrible things, and He loves you the whole time. There's a separation, but if you come back and say you're sorry and take a step in the right direction, God picks you up and yanks you back right to where you were. It takes a while. There are consequences, but repentance is just as simple as taking a step in the right direction and accepting the Christ life again and learning to get those little, just the little spiritual new life working again. But, you know, light isn't just for cases where we've completely digressed, though, because light can be used for different things. But a way to keep your eyes on the light is to constantly be keeping your eyes on the Lord. People think that having light is just making good decisions or coming to all the meetings or reading 90 different books of Scripture. But it's tied into the simplicity where you've got to be focused on the Christ entirely. And, you know, that just consists of just seeking out the Lord, finding Him. Because our actions don't matter. The actions that we do when we're following Christ matter. But we're nothing different than Catholics or Muslims, even when we're just doing good stuff because we feel like it's stuff we should do. But when we're focusing on Christ, the light can show us, so it can do so many different things. When we're walking with Christ, the light can pinpoint out things that we've been doing wrong. And not in the condemnation kind of way, because when you're walking with Christ, you see a problem, but you also have your hands on the solution at the same time. So if you are in the darkness and you see that you have a problem, your automatic instinct is turning it inward, introspection, depression, frustration, lashing out at others out of frustration at yourself. But when you're walking with the Lord, you're so completely soaked in the Christ life that you forget about all those little emotions, because that's not who you are. That's not the heart that you're using. You're using a heart that wants to love and chase after the Lord. So when the Lord points something out, it's as simple as just saying, okay, and that's it, you know? But also, it can encourage us, which is really cool because our lives are hard. I mean, I know all of us are in our various parts of life. We're in high school, we're in college, we're in career, we're in parenthood. But, you know, life is hard. But when we're walking with Christ, the Lord is able to encourage us. And it's not just limited to reading it in His Word or listening to a message. No, when we're walking with Christ, we can see Him inside His creation. Like, a lot of us went out walking this morning or whatever, and it was just beautiful outside, you know? Some of us got up a little earlier than other people, but those of us who got up a little bit later, it was still pretty. So, you know, just walking outside and just thought, wow, you know? Look what God made. Look at it, you know? But when we're walking with Christ, He can speak to us in so many different ways because we're receptive and we're looking at Him, you know? And sometimes it just happens when you need it, because we're never going to run out of opportunities for us to get frustrated. But Christ always, always is there for us when we need Him. Whether or not we accept His help is up to us, but Christ is always there to help. Also, it can point out sins, as I said. But, you know, when you have the light, it's just joyful because you realize you're obeying. It's not an issue of I'm doing this and I can't get out of it. It's an issue of here's an opportunity for me to continue walking with the Lord. Here's an opportunity that is a perfect example of how I am a weak, fallen individual, and the Lord is a mighty Savior who loves me. And also, light is very good at warning people about doing stuff, you know, because we're humans. We don't know that much. We're not very smart, you know, but the Lord always sends us little messages when we're getting too close to the line. Like, as an example, when I was, this fall I was in a little bit of an auto accident, and it was at this one street, Rattlesnake Road, and there was a stop sign there that I'd missed two or three times just because it's in the middle of nowhere, you miss it. It's a quiet little back road or whatever. But I'd run it two or three times, and then it got to the point where I didn't even notice that it was there. So, you know, I was driving along, completely miss it, and my van gets T-boned by another driver. And nobody gets hurt, but I had this feeling of if I paid attention to the lesson when it happened, you know, because I got the warning, I got the warning, I got the warning, I got the warning, but completely ignored it. And then all of a sudden, bam. But the lesson was still learned, you know? I think if God has something He's trying to do in all of our lives, He's going to get it done eventually. How painful it is entirely up to us, but the Lord always provides little opportunities for us to yank out little weeds before they grow into huge, huge bushes and stuff. But, you know, an example of that is just when you're, like, say you're a student and you're trying to, like, follow the Lord. And say friends who are sort of, who are walking in a sinful lifestyle say, hey, you want to hang out with us? And you say, and then the Lord gives you the warning of, okay, stay with godly company, don't do anything that would shame my name. But if you compromise there, then all of a sudden it's a little bit harder for you to hear the Lord's voice when He warns you next time to do something else. So say next time someone says, hey, let's go and do such and such. Not that bad. It's just the people you're with, you know. It's in the moral gray zone, so you do it. And then the next time it's harder, and then the next time it's harder. And then the last time they ask you to do something illegal, and you've completely just lost sight of that light or whatever, because you're not walking with the, you're just in the dark a little bit. And then you get caught, and then you know, the Lord will teach you a lesson, because the Lord is a very powerful speaker when he needs to be. And when you're in a case where you realize you messed up, you realized it was your fault, the Lord will still take you back. The light's always there for people who need it. You just got to understand that you need it, and you got to start looking for it. And light can show us glorious things. I mean, when you're looking at Christ, you can see more Christ. You know, I mean, of course, it shows you the frustrating parts of your nature. It shows you the parts that need to get fixed. It shows you all your little issues. It shows you all of your little flaws. But when you're focusing on Christ, you see more of him. It's like looking at the sun and then blinking, and you can see it a little clearer, and then blinking again, and you can see the surface of it. It's so glorious who Christ is. And then just all the joy of walking in his light and walking in his life. You find out so many things about him, his creation, his church, his eternal purpose, and it's all just joy. You know, there's a misconception that walking in the light means you don't do anything wrong or you got to be perfect. It's not. Really, walking in the light is just acknowledging that you're not perfect, that you're like a five-year-old. You can't be trusted to ruin your own life. The Lord's got to take the wheel. The Lord's got to be in control. And the Lord is always willing to take control, and he's always willing to guide us. And there's so many cases where we need him. We really need him. I mean, humans can't get by without God. They say they can, but they're miserable and they're depressed all the time. You know, worldwide, nearly 1 million people just give up every year. But when we have Christ, we have such a hope inside of us. Like, when people see us, they need to see that person is different. I don't know why, and they can't know why, because we have Christ in us, and they just can't know Christ. They can't understand what we're feeling or what we're seeing. But when we have Christ inside of us, it's just, life will still be hard, because as it says in Proverbs, it rains on the just and the unjust. But at the same time, I might have gotten the reference wrong. But at the same time, it's the fact that we're not alone in all this. I was talking to a friend of mine in my physics class, and he's a devout atheist. He believes that we're all stardust. We don't mean anything. I mean, he thinks his destiny is to just to die and become fertilizer eventually and everything. And he just has such a bleak outlook of the world. And as I've gotten to know him, he's just so hopeless. He spends his time finding a good time or whatever. He likes to party. He's very quick and he's very funny, but he's always so miserable, you know? And it's always such a sober warning / reminder of what we all have, because we're following Christ. And I feel like I don't know if this is scientifically true, but I think the world would be able to survive if there were 24 hours of light, but there's always 12 hours of night, you know? We can survive with 24 hours of daytime, but we can't survive with 24 hours of nighttime. And a lot of the time, that's how the Christian life is. It's this mix of black and white, of light and dark, and it shouldn't be that way. I was talking to my father about some problems I was having and how I was having trouble, because I felt like that I just had so much dark inside of who I was. And he said, just plunge into Christ, replace it, assert that you're under new management, give it up, just change your spiritual diet, as it were. Stop spending all your time plunging into shows, into different stuff. Spend your time going from a positive source, because that's the only way that all my problems will be solved, to be honest. It's the only way that we can keep on going, because we can't survive if we're divided. I mean, Abraham Lincoln said a house divided against itself can't stand. It can't. I mean, because we find ourselves in conflicts all the time, stuff that gets into our gray area. There's some Christians who get into the scary path of thinking that morality is relative. What's okay for me isn't okay for you, and what's okay for you isn't okay for me. And it's a really dangerous place to be, because you get to the point where if you spend all your time devoting your moral code to what one person thinks is okay, you will find one person who is allowed to excess himself in everything. Like, there's one person who thinks it's okay to do a lot of one sin, but it's not okay to do others. And you find another person who says it's okay to do one sin and not a lot of others. But we need to have the moral solidness of knowing that it's Christ's life. And a lot of the time we can only know that if we're looking at him. Because, because we don't know. I mean, we had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or whatever, but it pretty much flew over our heads because then all of a sudden, you know, the spiritual order got inverted, you know. It used to be spirit, soul, body. Now it's just body, soul, spirit. And now that those two are dead, we're just walking around doing whatever feels right. I mean, I've made decisions just by flipping a coin. I've made decisions off of how I was feeling. And they always had a 50-50 mix, but there was always doubt. There was always looking over my shoulder. But with the Christ life, you always have the blessed certainty of knowing this is something that my Lord approves of. This is something that lasts for eternity. And sometimes we feel like giving up and just plunging into the light and getting rid of the darkness is just going to be hard. We feel like it means we're not going to have any friends. We're not going to have the little, just all the little pleasures of the world that we get when we're walking in darkness. But light is joy. Life is contentment. Life is satisfaction. Darkness is fear. Darkness is coveting. Darkness is all the negative things that we humans secretly are afraid of and don't know it. But if we cling to the Lord, that's where our real satisfaction is. I mean, the Lord will never ask you to trade your life for something that isn't as good. The Lord always replaces it for something that's better. I mean, I have a dear brother that I really love, Ray Valerio. One of his go-to phrases when talking to us kids is, "Good is the enemy of the best." And it's so true. I mean, the world isn't even good. The world is just bad. And so often we hold on to it so hard. And it doesn't even take even... We trick ourselves. We allow ourselves to be tricked by thinking that the world is so attractive, but it's not. Only the Lord has that sort of... Only the Lord has the stuff that we're looking for. And... You know, light is scary. Light can hurt. I mean, if you look into the sun, it hurts your eyes. It makes it so the stuff around you is a little blurry. I mean, light's also scary. I mean, cop lights behind you are always scary. But it's always worth it because any instance where the Lord shows you any sort of that light, it's for our own benefit. It's just Christ intervening in our life, and everything Christ is always good. And I think it's just important to realize that with Christ, it's just straight life. With darkness, it's just death. And a lot of the time we feel like, you know, it's okay, this is okay, that's not okay, this is okay, that's not okay. But when we do that, we find that we're making the choices. We allow ourselves to pick what's okay and what's not. When we're in darkness, it's a lot of... You discover that when you're doing something in darkness, because it looks an awful lot like your natural inclinations. If you walk in and, you know, you see so-and-so sitting over there and so-and-so sitting over there, you walk in and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to sit over there because my friends are over there and I don't really care if he's having a hard time because I don't care. And, you know, you just... You can't even do good stuff if you're not walking in the light. Not really, because there's always a cost. Every action that we do has a cost. There's always a negative consequence. History is just an enormous case of cause and event. But when we're walking with the Lord, he always leads us in his perfect will, and it always works out. So, in closing, sorry, this was a little short. But just look for the light. Sometimes it'll be something obvious, like when I was flying out of Texas, when I went down over Christmas, we were flying up in the air and I looked down and, you know, there were clouds were trying to form, but we were in Texas, so it was dry. And you could look down, you could see these massive tears of light in the clouds. It looked like you were looking down at a velvet blanket and there were massive holes in it. And you could see like little starlight underneath. And sometimes it's like that. Other times it's like I was walking out of a grocery store and I was really struggling with some sins or whatever, and I just got overwhelmed and just turned around and walked out. And the second I walked out, the clouds rolled away and this massive ray of sunshine hit me. Other times it's just like when I was a kid, I was scared of the dark. And I always had a little pump flashlight next to my bed, and I could point it or whatever and just crank it, because it was a pump flashlight. I could just crank it and there'd just be a ray of light. Light always looks different. There are very many different kinds of it. But the source is always the same. The source is always from Christ. So it's just important that all of us just have the relationship with Christ, a personal relationship with Christ. And we need him. We're on Christ support, people, because we need him. It's not enough to have the Christian name. It's not enough to wear a cross. We need him. It's the only way we can get by. Because some humans are naturally strong. I mean, I know some people who can wear their Christian t-shirts, go to school, be surrounded by all the bullies, listen to Jesus freak in their car loud on stereos. I know Jeffrey did that. But most people can't do that. I know I can. I mean, I go to school and I get bullied. I can't do that. I can't survive with all the different temptations the world throws at us. I mean, nobody can. We need the Lord. We need the Lord to get to the Lord. And that's just the only way we can get by. And I just pray that all you guys can just find a way that light is the thing that you're running on, because there's nothing else that's going to work. Anyway, let's just close in prayer. Lord, thank you that you came to earth to be the light of the world. Thank you that you love us all and that you're actively moving in each and every one of our lives, even if we feel like we can't see it. Lord, please just show us how just desperately we need you, Lord, and show us that we can't make it on our own. Lord, I just pray that you would just take away some of the shadows between us and you, Lord. I pray that you would just learn to let us consecrate our lives for you, not in a way that's just frantically removing vice, Lord, but in a way that's just honoring you and just asking you to let us be like you and for you to provide the strength for us to do so, Lord. And I just pray that you would guide all of us, Lord. I just pray that you would just protect all your children as they go back out into the world wherever they came from, Lord. I just pray that you would just bless them and keep them, Lord. I just pray that you'd send them your little rays of light when they need it, Lord, because it is hard, Lord. And I just pray that we would all walk with you, Lord. Amen.